Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome my many listeners throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented, and delightful players of this game. And they are seated on my right, that regular player who's contributed so much, that outstanding comedian Paul Merton, and sitting beside him, someone who's played the game many times and always contributes extremely well, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have the presenter and comedian Fred Macaulay, and beside him, someone who's never played the game before, a very talented comedian and writer, and that is Joe Caulfield. And will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from one of the venues at the Pleasance on the Edinburgh Fringe, and we have a huge, excited, hyped up festival fringe audience here, dying for us to start the show. We'll begin with Paul Merton. And Paul, oh, very apt for starting, The Scotsman. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The Scotsman is the newspaper that all new performers in the Fringe buy religiously every day. They search for those reviews, perhaps a five-star review, or maybe a four, but something they can put on a poster. I remember once being at the student union here, back a long time ago now, in the early 1980s, and seeing all these beautiful students lying down.
Fred, you've challenged.
I think I may have challenged incorrectly, but did he say students twice?
No, I said student and student.
He said student the first time and students the second time.
Well, he repeated the word student up to the S.
I know, but he's played the game a lot. He knows how to wriggle out of those things. He did do repeat something else, but it's too late now.
Did he repeat it's too late now?
No.
That's not much.
It was
of
an
help.
Incorrect challenge, I'm sorry, Fred. Lovely to hear from you. Lovely, lovely.
Good to be here. And,
you must come back again sometime.
It's the contributions that matter. Paul, it was an incorrect challenge, so you get a point for that. You keep the subject, and 41 seconds available, starting now.
If you walk down Oxford Street on any regular Sunday morning, you will see a Scotsman parked outside where...
Clement, challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Regular Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. How I suppose can Sunday morning be anything but...
So you're saying deviation from English, as we understand it, should be regularly on Sunday morning? No, you're not saying that.
Nicholas, I hate to interrupt you, but can I just say that three Sundays ago, I got up and one of our dogs had brought in a rabbit and was rubbing Spam onto its head. That was no regular Sunday.
Clement, we give you the benefit of the doubt. We give you the subject. It is The Scotsman. You have a point, of course. 35 seconds, starting now.
In a small plane flying over the Ural Mountains, there were five passengers. A Scotsman, another Scotsman, a Scottish person, someone from Inverness, and a kindly gentleman from Ayr. And the captain said, someone will have to get out because the weight is too great. And of course, a Scotsman was the first one to volunteer. He said, me, I will go. Watch while I open the door and jump overboard, especially as we are...
Fred, you've challenged.
It's deviation. You can't jump overboard from an aircraft that's flying.
I would agree with you, Fred. A very good challenge. Deviation, so right.
What's happened to these five Scotsmen? One of them's going to jump overboard, yeah. And we don't know what's going to happen to the rest of them.
What happened to the rest of them, Clement?
I'm not saying.
You'll have to write to him. We'll find out after. Says Fred is going to correct challenge. He has a point for that, and he has the Scotsman starting now.
There is a fine hotel.
In this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Fred Macaulay, who has got 2 points now, so he's in the lead at the end of that round. Clement Freud, will you take the next round? Oh, goose pimples. 60 seconds, starting now.
Geese only get pimples when you pull out their feathers on the way to killing them and producing foie gras, goose liver, the most delicious and... wholly immoral substance you could ever eat. Goose pimples are also on human beings, usually occasioned by extremes of weather, particularly cold. And your body...
Paul challenged.
It was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation. Paul, you have the subject of goose pimples. You have 34 seconds, and your time starts now.
Getting goose pimples is a sign of expectation as I walk towards this magnificent venue today with 700 people to record just a minute. Goose pimples were all over my body. Looked at my hand, down the back of my arm, my leg. Every single atom of my skin...
Clement challenged.
5 miles.
Yes. One for each Scotsman. That we've still left up in that plane.
Yeah, if we sometimes let two or three go, but 5 miles is, I think we must give it to Clement for that one. Another point to you, Clement, the subject, goose pimples, and there are 21 seconds on goose pimples starting now.
Fear and apprehension are the usual qualities that cause a person to get goose pimples, which are... Skin.
Fred challenged. No.
I'm challenging on behalf of Joe because I think there was a hesitation there. Now, if there was a hesitation, I'm prepared to pass it over to Joe.
Do you know how very weird that was? Because just after
you
did
hesitated.
That, I did that. Oh, you saw me hesitate the thing. I wasn't quite sure.
But anyway, Fred's been...
I think there was a hesitation.
Yeah, well, Fred has very generously given his hesitation, his correct challenge, over to you. So we're going to hear from you on goose pimples with 13 seconds to go, starting now.
It doesn't really matter if you call
No, not you, Fred.
That was a fantastic impression, wasn't it? That was a fantastic impression.
Am I allowed to say theft? Is that allowed? Yeah.
No, Fred, you gave it to Joe.
I forgot about that.
I'll tell you what we're going to do there. We're going to give Fred Macaulay a bonus point for his generosity as well as the humour he generated.
Well, he was generous, but then he forgot very quickly that he's generous.
And there are 13 seconds now of goose pimples with you, Joe, starting now.
So when I open my mouth this time, Fred's voice won't come out. Good, that was successful. That's okay.
Paul challenge.
No, no, not me.
Deviate.
What's that?
Clement challenge.
Clement, what's the challenge?
I'd forgotten.
Right. So we give Clement a bonus point because we enjoyed his interruption. And you get a bonus point.
Right.
No, you get a legitimate point because you were interrupted. And you keep the subject. And there are 8 seconds left on goose pimples, Joe, starting now.
Goose pimples. Goose pimples. Who's that?
Well, strictly speaking, it was hesitation.
I know it was.
Was it? Was that actually hesitation?
No, you went on goose pimples and then you hesitated. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have the subject of scoop... I'm getting goose pimples now.
Deviation.
Yes, I know. But no points awarded on that one. Paul, 7 seconds, goose pimples, starting now.
If you take a goose out of its normal environment and put it somewhere extremely cold, soon you will observe that magnificent phenomenon known to scientists...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's now in the lead, one ahead of Clement Freud and Fred Macaulay, and two ahead of Joe Caulfield. And Joe, it's your turn to begin. So would you now start with the subject of...
Okay, I've got to be ready for the now.
Right. The subject is paradise, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
For a long time, we have been told that the taste of paradise is, in fact, sweetened coconut and chocolate, which means that paradise actually has a very, very unhealthy diet. Oh. Very, very.
That's the trick. If you haven't played the game, everybody falls into the number.
Shall
of times.
I leave now? Is that best?
Yeah. No, Diane, we love having you, and you're contributing hugely.
I am making everyone look marvellous. That's what I'm doing. They're going, it is a hard game, isn't it? We thought it was easy, but that woman's an idiot.
No, it is a hard game. It is a hard game. But when it comes to looking lovely, I mean, you're lost on radio, actually, because you do look gorgeous. But, Fred, we're very, very... We can't let that one go. Correct challenge. Right, you've got the subject, and you've got 51 seconds. Paradise starting now.
5 Scotsmen in an aeroplane flying over the Urals. One of them is going to end up in paradise, which, for the Glaswegian listeners to Radio 4, they know that it's Celtic Park, where the green and white hooped football team play. I don't know why it's called that, because just across the town, Rangers play at Ibrox, and...
Paul, you challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a definite hesitation. Right. So, Paul, you have Ibrox. No, you don't. You have Paradise. And,
don't ever make that mistake in Glasgow.
Give Fred another bonus point. We enjoyed that one. But, Paul, you have a point. You correct challenge. And the 32 seconds, paradise, starting now.
Paradise is a place that exists mainly in people's minds. Utopia, perhaps. Somewhere gorgeous where we can relax after a long day's work. Our partner comes towards us, offering us a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Could there be anything better than that, apart from...
Clement challenge.
Frankly, yes.
I've got to raise my standards, haven't I?
Yes.
That's not paradise at all.
No, I think you empathise a lot of people on that particular remark. But Clement, yes, I agree with you, what you said, but what is your challenge when the rules are just a minute? None at all?
None.
None, right. But we will give you a bonus point because we did enjoy the interruption. But Paul gets the point because he was interrupted. He still has paradise, and he's got 18 seconds to tell us more about Kentucky Fried Chicken, starting now.
For some people, paradise may be living in the middle of a dark, dank cave, nibbling old hobnob biscuits while looking at repeats of the White Feather Club. Or White Heather, wasn't it? Damn.
Clement, you challenge first.
Reputation of white.
Yes. Correct, Clement. You have another point. You have the subject and you have 7 seconds on paradise starting now.
You can always tell when you're in paradise by the quality of the sweet trolley. It is so very much more attractive than you would find it...
Right, so Clement Freud was speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point, he's moved forward, he's equal with Paul in the lead, and 1 point behind them is Fred McCauley and then Joe Caulfield. And Fred, we'd like you to begin the next round. And the subject is very apt for where we are up here in the Pleasants, but the subject is Beyond the Fringe. Tell us something about that subject which we all use up here, starting now.
Most of my life since the age of 19 has been spent beyond the fringe because that's when I started to lose my hair. But it was the name of a most successful show that was brought to Edinburgh Festival, I think, in the early 60s, which starred Peter Cook, Dudley Moore, Jonathan Miller, Alan Bennett, and it was hugely successful. Went on to...
Paul Challenge.
I think we had successful before.
You had too successful, yes.
Nothing can be too successful.
Yes, and that was... And that, okay. But Sir Paul, you got in with a point, of course, 42 seconds, Beyond the Fringe, starting now.
As Fred mentioned, that was indeed a very popular show, and a lot of people don't realise now that it was part of the Edinburgh Official Festival, not part.
Clement Challenge.
Part.
Yes, we interpret that as hesitation, so you take Beyond the Fringe, Clement, and you have 35 seconds, starting now.
I think I totally agree with Fred.
Paul, you challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, he agreed, and that was enough. So you're back in again, Paul, on Beyond the Fringe, and there are 32 seconds, starting now.
If you climb up Arthur's Seat and look to the distant horizon, there is no doubt about it, you are seeing Beyond the Fringe. All those clowns, tumblers, stand-up comedians, people in improvisational groups, review artists, all gather round this mighty city once every August, hoping that somebody from television is going to walk into their venue and say, "You're useless, you'll never work again." It happened to me once in 1987.
Clement Challenge.
It happened to him twice in 1980.
They're all looking at you rather mystified, Clement. Can you explain for the sake of the listeners and audience?
He got kicked out of 2 shows.
Yeah. It's true, I did, yeah.
So he repeated what?
He repeated getting the sack.
Yeah. He was certainly repetitious. All right, Clement. You love winding me up, and you've achieved it. 8 seconds, Beyond the Fringe, Clement, starting now.
Beyond the Fringe is really about winding up Nicholas Parsons. It is a simple thing to do. You stand up and you say, "Hey, Chairman, guess what?"
So, Clement Freud was then speaking again as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now 1 ahead of Paul Merton, and they're both slightly ahead of Fred McCauley and Joe Caulfield in order. Paul, we're back with you to begin, and the subject now is the best thing since sliced bread. Take that phrase, do something with it in this game, starting now.
Toast.
Joe, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
Well done, Joe. You absolutely...
I have realised this game is really like doing maths, and I wasn't ever good at maths, and my brain is not computing anything. I realise also I don't listen to people at all because you're all going, oh, they've repeated it. I was going, were they? I was looking at that lady's top. It's really nice. Yeah. So now I get to speak, don't I?
You get to speak, darling, when I say now.
Okay.
And the subject is the best thing since sliced bread, and there are 59 seconds starting now.
When anyone ever says to me, oh, this is the best thing since sliced bread, I always immediately lower my expectation of what they're about to show me. If they are truly impressed by sliced bread, I don't think I'm going to be that pleased by whatever it is they're going to bring me. Actually, I now find myself genuinely impressed in a supermarket when the man will slice the bread for you. How strange is that, that we go back in time, I bring him a loaf, he puts it in a machine, and you know, I am genuinely impressed when he slices that bread in front of me.
Fred, you've challenged.
Repetition of impressed.
Yes, you were impressed before, I'm afraid.
I was so impressed, though.
I know. Yeah. But you went very well. You went for 30 seconds.
Well done.
Not bad. Fred, a correct challenge. You have the subject. You have the best thing since sliced bread. 30 seconds starting now.
The only time someone has told me that they thought that I had come up with an idea that was the best thing since sliced bread was when I approached a television producer with an idea for the White Feather Club, which was going to be Scottish country dancing for cowards. Jimmy Shand was going to be playing with his accordion. There was a drummer in the background, somebody on double bass at the front. But the noise was too much for the dancers to progress and come forward. And furthermore, there was...
Paul, you've challenged.
Ironically, a hesitation after furthermore.
After furthermore.
Can I just say that also, in geographical terms, that furthermore is just north of Strathmore. where White Feather Club dancing began.
Anyway, it was a hesitation, so Paul, a correct challenge. The best thing since sliced bread is back with you, and there are 5 seconds left, starting now.
If you peruse the posters that you see up here at the festival, many of them will declare that the persons in the show are...
So Paul Martin was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now one ahead of Clement Freud. And he's 4 ahead of Fred McCauley and a few more ahead of Joe Caulfield. And
what a lovely way of putting it.
Yes. Well, you know, there's no losers in this game. You either finish up in third, fourth, or And Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject we've got for you to start with is odds and ends. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Let me begin with odds. They are the numeral calculations of your stake if you go gambling, like even money if the amount of money that you...
Fred, challenged.
Yeah. Two monies, it was one even...
There was too much money. Yes, yeah. Too much money. So, Fred, you've got in with odds and ends, and you have 49 seconds starting now.
In the retail environment, particularly in garments for men and women, you'll often find a bin in a shop that contains odds and ends. These can be trousers, socks, underpants, shirts, jerseys, jerkins, which are really just anoraks without a hood, balaclavas and other hatwear. Basically, anything that they've been trying to sell in the shop that is no longer in the main part of the retail environment.
Paul, challenge.
Shame, but it was the repetition of retail.
I know. Yes, that's right. It was you used to repeat it retail as well as the pause. Yeah. Right, Paul, so you've got him with 25 seconds to go. Odds and ends as a subject, and you start now.
I think a lot of us at home have a drawer that we dedicate to our odds and ends. There may be various bits and pieces from our life that we've secreted inside that wooden box. Something that we pick up from 1978 and go, ah, yes, that's when I was in a punk band. Clement himself showed me a photograph earlier. It was a magnificent tribute group, wasn't it, that you were in? Yeah, magnificent. Mm. And they were fantastic. They would play all kinds of rock and roll.
Joe, you've challenged. Joe, what was your challenge?
Magnificent.
Yes, well, listen.
I almost didn't hear you tell me that, Nicholas.
There were people at the back did.
Well, Joe, you haven't played it before, so you're entitled to that little bit of generosity. And you've got in with 2 seconds to go. And the subject is odds and ends.
Don't think I won't get challenged.
Take your breath, and you start now.
Odds and ends.
There we are. Paul, you challenged.
A hesitation.
Rubbish. Another point to you, Joe. And you have odds and ends. 1.5 seconds to go, starting now.
Odds and ends.
Yes. Fred.
Another desperate hesitation. It was appalling. In all the times I've played this, I've rarely heard a longer hesitation. The first time excuse isn't going to wear with me. That was. Note to producer, could you edit in a pause?
Fred, we give you a bonus point because we love the interruption, but Jo was interrupted and she still has a second to go on Odds and Ends starting now.
Odds and Ends are always together.
So Jo Caulfield was speaking then when the whistle went and gained that extra point for doing so, and with others in the round, she has really leapt forward. She's still in fourth place, but but she's leapt forward. She's only one behind Fred, she's only two behind Clement, and three behind Paul as we take the next. In fact, Joe, it's back with you to begin. And we'd like you to start with retail therapy. 60 seconds, starting now.
Retail therapy is the idea that spending money will make you feel better. This is something I've tried to explain to my husband, but it's hard for him to understand because he's from Aberdeen, and he's never quite got that concept that that will make you feel happier. Sometimes retail therapy actually is very annoying because the service is so bad that I then find that I'm not happy at all after my retail therapy. I once went to a shop.
Clement Challenge.
I'm very over happiness.
Yes, you did repeat happy twice.
I'm a very happy person.
But you can't repeat it twice in just a minute, unfortunately. So, Clement, well, listen, you've got the subject, you have retail therapy. There are 40 seconds available, starting now.
In Douglas, in the Isle of Man, there is a nursing home which practices retail therapy. Cats, who obviously have no tails, being Manx, come there in order to be like other feline animals. And all sorts of tails are...
Joe, you challenged?
I've not played the game before, but I was slightly worried that Clement was having a stroke or something. It's very odd.
Because he was
the
going...
The cats, yes, and the, yeah.
Yes, but so you think it was deviation from...
I was just worried in case he was... but if he's OK, then... Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether they do retail cats in the Isle of Man or not. Is that what you were challenging on, deviation?
Yes.
Well, I think it would be true, wouldn't it? It would be deviation. I can't believe... Oh, well, ask the audience. Do you think they have retail therapy in the Isle of Man?
Yes, they do.
Oh, God, there's something to do.
They've all been there.
So, to be perfectly fair, we'll give you a bonus point all for the interruption, but, Clement, you were interrupted, so you keep the subject, retail therapy, and there are 22 seconds starting now.
The word retail therapy also applies to people who enjoy spending their money.
Fred, challenge.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation. Yes, Fred, you have the subject and you have retail therapy and you have 18 seconds starting now.
If you go into the shops that sell trousers, anoraks, balaclavas, etc. in the odds and ends bin, you may find on the real racks this year's latest fashions, which could be colours of...
Paul Challenge.
Do you have a repetition of racks there?
Yes, you had the racks before. So, Paul, you've got in with... You've only got 2 seconds available. Got retail therapy. You start now.
I love to wander down Oxford Street and buy everything.
So, Paul was getting the whistle. The point when the whistle went. You got the whistle when the point went. But it gets to you sometime, this show. I'll give you the score as we move into the final round. Right, Jo Caulfield, who hasn't played the game before, has done marvellously. She's in fourth place, but she's done extraordinarily well. But she's only 2 points behind Fred McCauley, and she's still 3 points behind Clement Freud, and another 3 or 4 in the lead is Paul Merton. As we begin the last round, Fred, it's actually your turn to begin, and the subject which could be embarrassing for me is the Parson's Nose. So will you tell us something about the Parson's Nose in just a minute, starting now?
Once you've plucked the feathers from a goose and it's entirely naked, you'll find at the rear end, where the tail feathers protrude, the Parson's Nose. Why it's called this is a mystery to me and a terrible slight on the ecclesiastical personnel. You don't have the bishop's tonsils, for example. Well, you might do, and I shudder to think where they might be. Nicholas, very fortunately, has a Parson's Nose, otherwise his spectacles would be down at his chin. Luckily, he has Parson's ears as well.
Oh, challenge.
Thank you.
There was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation. When he got to the ears, he couldn't think of any more parts of my anatomy.
Well, sadly, Nicholas, I could, but...
I That's what halted him in his tracks.
I hesitated.
That's what I was thinking to say. Anyway, it's the Parson's nose. Paul, it's with you. We have another point. You have 30 seconds starting now.
If you pluck the feathers out of Nicholas Parsons, you end up with a goose's nose. It's the most extraordinary delicacy. You can have it carved up, sliced, and you go into any restaurant in Glasgow and they will happily serve it up to you. The Parson's nose is that part of the bird, be it chicken, turkey or goose, that is identified...
Clement Challenge.
I think we've had goose.
Not in this round.
Mm.
No, it was... yes,
oh,
we did.
It
was Fred who clapped the goose.
I had goose.
He talked about the goose. Oh,
I might have said goose a bit right at the beginning. Did I say
right
something?
At the beginning.
You did
yeah.
say goose at the beginning.
I think
you're
I did,
quite
yeah.
right.
Mm.
Well owned up. And so, Clement, a correct challenge. You have 15 seconds on the Parson's nose, starting now.
I was very interested when I visited Haiti and seeing how many Parson's noses were imported from the United States. It is the favourite part of a chicken in Port-au-Prince. Go to any restaurant you like and say, I will have today's...
So, Clement Freud, with his experiences in Haiti, telling us what the Parson's nose finished the round, gained that extra point. I'll give you the final situation. Joe, who has not played the game before, but has contributed magnificently. Been lovely having you.
I love the way you make me sound so special.
You finished in a very brilliant fourth place. Fred McCauley, who hasn't played the game very much either, has placed in an excellent third place.
Well, thank you.
Clement Freud, who has played the game quite a lot, finished in a superb second place. And he was only 1 point behind Paul Merton, who we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Joe Caulfield and Fred McCauley. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle so delightfully. We thank our producer, Talusha Gilani. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're really indebted to this lovely audience here at the Pleasance on the Fringe in Edinburgh in 2007, who've cheered us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons and the panel, goodbye and tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
Yeah! And there are more Just a Minute shenanigans with Nicholas Parsons at the same time next week, when the show will again be coming from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, with guests Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Jenny Godley and Marcus Brigstocke.